Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 2nd to 22nd, 2017 in communities across Canada. The RVF series, which showcases the diversity, duality, and dynamism of Canada's francophone communities, is brought to you by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. Please stay tuned for the next half hour for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. Visit ncra.ca/RVF for more information on the series.
What does it mean to be French in today's Canada? Qu'est-ce que cela signifie d'être française au Canada d'aujourd'hui? What does it mean to be Métis in today's Canada? Qu'est-ce que cela signifie d'être Métis au Canada d'aujourd'hui? These are a couple of different questions that I've been asking myself recently. My name is Andrew John Saltis. I'm a radio host with CFUR in Prince George, British Columbia. I am an alumni of the University of Northern British Columbia, and I am a proud member of the Métis Nation of British Columbia. Today, I will be attempting to discover my roots and shed some light on the aforementioned questions. Since I was a child, I have identified as being French, at least kind of, sort of. I was raised in Prince George, British Columbia, in a primarily English-speaking household, but my grandmother, Andrea McKenzie, formerly Andrea de la Barrière, had a very strong impression on me growing up. My grandmother, who is now 97 years old, was raised in Manitoba in a French-speaking household. Her father was actually born in France, and her mother was a French-speaking Canadian. Now, just recently, my family discovered that not only is my grandmother of French ancestry, but she is also Métis. My mother, Kathleen Saltis, has lived in Prince George her entire life. She's the chief administrative officer of the city of Prince George. And at the age of 60 years old, she discovered that she is Métis because of my grandmother's Métis heritage. I recently talked to my mom about this.
My brother was together with my sisters in a family gathering, and they started talking about heritage. And my mom, who we've always known was of French descent, said that she thought that there might be Métis heritage in her background. My brother did a lot of digging, and he found that my mom was very much correct, that three of my grandmother's grandparents were Métis, and the fourth was French. And so my brother did the required research and submitted an application to the BC Métis Nation and got his membership. And since then, his children and my brothers and sisters and I have all got our memberships in the BC Métis Nation too. So Mom had always known that her dad was from France, and he was of a minor noble family in France. And she traced her family tree on her dad's side back to the 1400s. With my mom's mom, she knew that her family had lived in Manitoba, and that my grandma had been born in Leroy, North Dakota. But there wasn't much more that my mom knew of her family.
So what my family had come to discover is that my grandma's mom, my great-grandma, was of Métis ancestry. Her mother was a Manitoba Soto. Now, there's a lot of different interesting things relating to the Métis in Canada, especially in regards to language. I'm going to read a essay written by Peter Baker and Lawrence Barkwell relating to Métis languages. This essay is from the book Métis Legacy, Volume 2, Métis Culture, Heritage, and Folkways. Métis Languages by Peter Baker and Lawrence Barkwell. There are a number of misunderstandings about what constitutes métis. Let us first discuss the origin of the word. The word métis is originally a French word, but it is long forgotten in this language, in Quebec and in France. It means the same as Métis, hence a person of mixed biological descent. In the North American context, it always means a person of mixed Amerindian and European, in particular French-Canadian ancestry. In the early period in New France, roughly what is now southern Quebec, people of mixed ancestry were called Métis. The word Métis is or was also used in Haiti, where it also refers to a mixed person. The word seems to be forgotten elsewhere. It was replaced by the French word Métis, which has, like the Spanish mestizo, its origin in the same Latin root. The French Amerindian Métis use the word Métis to refer to themselves as a people in their own language, and more also in English. Just like in many other cases, the word for a people can also be used for a language. The Crees speak Cree, the French speak French, etc. Also in this case, the word for the people is also used for the language spoken by the Métis, or actually the languages. The word Métis is used for two distinct languages, both spoken by Métis people. One Métis is a distinct variety of French spoken in, among other places, Saint-Laurent and Saint-Ambroise in Manitoba, and some communities in Saskatchewan and Alberta. The other Métis is a combination of French and Cree. The actions, the verbs, are all expressed in Cree, and the objects, the nouns, are all expressed in French. As names for languages and people are nouns, the word Métis is used in both languages for the people and also for the language. The first Métis, the distinct variety of French, formed the French input for the mixed language, and therefore it is not surprising that both languages are called Métis. In northwestern Saskatchewan, roughly between Green Lake and Buffalo Narrows, the Métis speak Cree, with a modest number of French loans. These French loans mostly refer to items and institutions introduced by missions and schools. A comparison between the Cree and French parts of their language shows that this language came into being independently of the combined Métis language. The speakers used to call it Cree, but now they call it Métis. Adding to the confusion about the question whether Métis is one language or several, the Métis do not simply speak the mixed Métis and the French Métis, but also Saulteaux, Ojibwe, Swampy Cree, Plains Cree, and Woods Cree. It depends where people grew up as to which language or combination of languages they may learn in their communities. Nowadays, however, English is the mother tongue of the vast majority of Métis. So once again, that was a passage from the essay titled Métis Languages by Peter Baker and Lawrence Barkwell. It can be found in the Métis Legacy Volume 2 book. Now, what Barkwell and Baker mention is that now English is the predominant language amongst Métis people, almost insinuating that the French language has been lost amongst Métis communities. Recently, I talked to Dr. Michel Bouchard, who's a professor of anthropology with the University of Northern British Columbia. He recently released a book titled Songs Upon the Rivers, The Buried History of the French-Speaking Canadien and Métis from the Great Lakes and the Mississippi across to the Pacific.
Place that you'll see they present sort of the history, like I said, Tlaitlatine and the fur trade, yet they completely evacuate outside of history any reference to any French-speaking Canadien or Métis or French-speaking Iroquois. Yet, if you would have gone to Fort George in the 19th century, the dominant language of those working for the fur trade was French. And yet people such as Jean-Baptiste Boucher d'Iwakan, who was kind of the, almost a Hudson's Bay company, combination of Maine enforcer, police officer, the person who was there to get things done, in a sense, I guess, to maintain the role of the Hudson's Bay Company. So you have people like Boucher, but you have many others, Boucher and Tapage, and a host of these individuals whose stories have been largely forgotten. Because even if you look at the Exploration Place, they have a line where they started the history and said, yes, there were these fur traders and these Oblate missionaries. But in a sense, they say, well, they don't really matter all that much. Let's begin with the real history. So you have, in a sense, the almost, I'm not sure whether it's conscious or unconscious effort to forget about this past, even when it could have been done. So, for example, they do have mentioned that I think it was 1826, two Hudson Bay Company employees were killed at Fort George. Yet we know their names. So why didn't they give the name? But they're French names with these accents, which would have opened up opened up that can of worms that you're trying, I guess, to forget about. So yeah. It's those subtle ways in which in every town, in every city, in every larger narrative, you exclude these French speakers from history.
Yeah, do you think that the language has been in relation to Métis families that it's been passed along in these English communities, or do you think it's kind of become lost as well?
Well, what is interesting in a sense, I guess, where we'll certainly be criticized by a form of Métis nationalism. What we're putting forward is that this myth that's been created that all the Métis spoke Métchif, this bilingual mixed language of French and Cree, this wasn't the case, because the language of the Métis was French. Even those Métis who were a very small minority of the larger Métis community who did speak this mixed language also spoke French. And we see this, or you have references. So, for example, one of the last employees, Monsieur Joseph Tapage, in the 1920s, just before he passed away, there's an article, in the, I think it was the forerunner to the Citizen. So I think at that time he had two or three, I think it was the Fort George paper, if I can't remember which one was, but that one point the journalist is describing, yes, it's too bad that I don't speak French, because I could have had such a more detailed history, of the region. And he ends his piece with a very poetic saying, and yes, good old Joel walked off with his grandkids talking to them in French. So clearly, the historical reality about every document that we have is that pretty much from the Red River to British Columbia to what's now, Vancouver, Washington, the lingua franca of the fur trade was French. And this was to the point where you had, in the 1810s, you have, he was an Irishman who had signed up to work, in a sense, for the fur trade company. He had spent a number of years, in what's now Washington State. And at one point, he winters at one of the outposts, and he says, yes, I have to quit, basically, after the winter, is losing my English to a combination of French and the local, native languages. But was it forgotten, I think, in certain ways, that the French language was so dominant that even those who were English speakers had to learn to speak French, basically, to survive, and get by, while working in the fur trade.
Any idea as to why it's been forgotten throughout history, or is it just... Is there anything that popped up during your research?
Well, it's a step-by-step process. Yeah. So first, you have the denigration. So you have Washington Irving, who was commissioned to write a book by the first multimillionaire in the United States, John Jacob Astor.
Yeah.
And in this book, he calls, in a sense, he describes the French-speaking Canadian Creole as lazy, not very good. He even says, in a sense, that they... crouched in their canoes, they're nothing compared to the noble, Kentucky man, on his horse. And he even quantified, said, one man from Kentucky was worth three Canadiens, or these three French speakers against, Canadiens or Creole. They're always described as being not very serious, not very, in a sense, not very noble, not very courageous, a bit too effeminate. So in certain ways, first stage is this denigration. Second stage, in a sense, you have the Five and Dime novel. So you have that along with the newspapers creating these mythical accounts. It's the Easterner who goes west, becomes almost succumbs to being savage, but no comes through it, a much nobler, greater American.
That was Dr. Michelle Bouchard, who is a professor of anthropology with the University of Northern British Columbia. He recently released a book titled Songs Upon the Rivers, The Buried History of the French-Speaking Canadien and Métis from the Great Lakes and the Mississippi across to the Pacific. In our interview, Dr. Michelle Bouchard was mentioning that perhaps history has forgotten about the integral role that the French language played in Métis culture, and he gave the argument that perhaps the French language is still fairly predominant in relation to Métis culture. Of course, that is contrary to the essay that I read by Peter Baker and Lawrence Barkwell, who claimed that the English language had taken over Métis culture. So the only way to really discover which one of these theses is correct was for me to go out and to ask people of Métis lineage what languages they learned in the household and what languages they speak today. I'm going to play three different interviews that I did with elders at the University of Northern British Columbia. These interviews were taken during Métis Days at UNBC. The first interview is with Métis elder Christine Roberts, who was born in Toronto in the year 1964. Her mother was Parisienne and Lakota, and her father was Parisienne and Ojibwe.
Well, I was raised mostly by my grandparents, and we spoke mostly Michif, several different languages. Yeah, yeah. Cree, a little bit of Cree, a little bit of Soto, a little bit of different languages kind of combined. It's called Trade Talk.
Yeah.
It was originally called Trade Talk. And it was so that the different nations could talk to each other, right? And the Métis could communicate with most of the nations. Yeah. English is my third language. So I first went to a French school. Yeah, I went to a very small kind of farming community, one schoolroom, you know, several different grades. You know, that's why I went there, was because it was the predominant language. I didn't have hardly any English until I was 8. And then I was put into foster care, and then an all-English-speaking home, all-English-speaking school. And it was just lucky that I had a Parisienne art teacher. And I seen her talking one day, and I recognized what she was saying. And so I started talking to her in Parisienne, and so she helped me with my English, you know, to get through it. I was a smart kid. I graduated with
So that was an interview with Christine Roberts at Métis Days at UNBC. She seemed to state that when she was young, she was predominantly introduced to the French language, although she said Michif also played a role in her upbringing. She seemed to point to the fact that in school, at least, she was most comfortable with the French language. Now, I'm going to play an interview that I had with Joyce Roberts, no relation to Christine Roberts. Joyce had some interesting things to say about the languages that she learned in her household.
I was born in New Westminster.
New Westminster, wow. Yeah. And were both your parents Métis?
Well, I haven't checked my mom's side yet, but my dad's side, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the ancestry back to the 1600s when they first came over.
Wow, and where was he from, or where were the family from?
They were from Rouen, France.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. Interesting. So growing up, did your dad speak French in the household?
He did to a point.
Yeah.
When his mom came to live with my parents before I was born, that my grandma taught my oldest brother how to talk French, and when my mom found out what it was, she forbid French in the household because he was calling her very bad names.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, you didn't mention French around my mom. I couldn't even take it and study. I took it in school a little bit, but you couldn't practice it. You couldn't do anything in French.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
But that was your father's primary language?
That was my father's primary language. And I think when I'm thinking back, I think a lot of it was Michif, because not as I'm learning some of the Michif, some of that is coming back to that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he spoke.
Wow.
It was more Michif than it was,
And did he ever have the French TV or radio on, CBC Francais?
No. Wasn't allowed.
So that was an interview with Joyce Roberts. She discussed growing up in New Westminster and what languages she was taught in the household while growing up. The previous interview was with Métis elder Christine Roberts, who discussed the languages that she learned while growing up in Ontario. Now that we've gotten elder perspective regarding languages used by the Métis in Canada, I am going to play two different interviews that I had with Métis millennials to learn a little bit about what role the French language has played in their life. The first interview took place with Jeremy Paul. Jeremy Paul is a musician. He is a part of the Canadian band Black Spruce Bog. Black Spruce Bog has been critically acclaimed by a number of different sources in Canada. They draw much of their inspiration from a rich local history. And here is my interview with Jeremy.
I was born in Prince Rupert. My dad's side is Tsimshian. My mom's side is Cree Métis from Selkirk, Manitoba. So when I was before kindergarten, language was a pretty important thing. I was fairly bilingual as a small child. My mom taught me both French and English, and but you know, after kindergarten, I didn't go to any French immersion or anything like that. So it was kind of lost. I don't speak French anymore. I can't it's pretty much as if I didn't even learn it. But yeah, apparently like I was going into kindergarten, like knowing basic conversational French and, you know, all the numbers up to 100 and stuff like that. Like, yeah, it was pretty interesting.
In regards to the household, was French CBC ever on, or was it always English in regards to media?
Yeah, with regards to media, it was definitely English. That was just what was spoken in the household for the most part, even though, yeah, my mom taught me both early on.
So that was millennial Métis Jeremy Paul, who is a Bachelor of Education student at the University of Northern British Columbia. For the second interview that I'm going to play with a Métis millennial, I will be talking to Shannon Williams, and she has some interesting things to say.
Talk a little bit about your Métis heritage.
Yeah, so I'm Métis. My great-grandmother lived in a Métis community in Manitoba. That's where my grandfather was born. And my great-grandfather was a white Catholic priest and school teacher. He married my great-grandmother, had my grandpa and his two siblings, and they lived on the reserve my grandfather lived on the reserve until he was 8 or so. And then he moved away to live with one of his uncles on my great-grandfather's side. And so he kind of became separated from the community. But that's my heritage. And then I'm also a distant relative to Louis Riel through marriage. And I can trace my history back to Confederation, basically, or when my ancestors came over as Coureurs de Bois from Wales.
In regards to your life growing up, because of your connection with Louis Riel, was there any French in the household, or did you have any knowledge of the French culture?
Actually, no, not at all. We're a completely urbanized family. My dad wasn't Métis or had any Indigenous heritage. And the only connection that I really had to my heritage was through my grandfather. He would make drums, and he connected with the elders in the area that he lived in after he retired. And he taught, actually, students how to make drums and would smudge and go to sweats. And he really didn't practice Métis culture in any way, but he practiced the Indigenous culture of his area because he remembered that type of culture from his childhood.
So there you have it. That is the perspective of four different Métis individuals who live in the Prince George area. Seemingly, the French language, and at the very least, French ancestry, is one thing that ties all four of these individuals together. In Christine Roberts' case, she learned Métis in the household and became most comfortable with speaking French in the classroom. In the case of Elder Joyce Roberts, although French was her father's primary language and French seemed to be her father's ancestry, she was not allowed to speak French in the household.
My grandma taught my oldest brother how to talk French, and when my mom found out what it was, she forbid French in the household because he was calling her very bad names.
Yeah.
In the case of the millennials, Jeremy Paul was introduced to French at a young age.
I was fairly bilingual as a small child. My mom taught me both French and English.
However, when he entered the school systems, he said that English became his primary language and he lost much of the French that he had learned from his mom. In Shannon Williams' case, when asked whether either of her parents spoke French, she stated,
"No, not at all."
She does have French ancestry.
And then I'm also a distant relative to Louis Riel through marriage.
So one more person that I wanted to talk to was Rihanna Robinson. Rihanna Robinson is a professor with the University of Northern British Columbia. She has a master's degree, and she's been teaching at UNBC for a while now. I wanted to get an idea of how predominant the French language was in relation to students that she has taught over the years. Here's what Rihanna had to say in my interview with her.
I believe that there was a strong influence. Well, of course, there was a strong influence of Métis culture and identity from the family my mom was born from. Yeah. And I think that there definitely would have been some French present within the context of that.
Being a professor at UMBC, I would imagine over the years you've had a few Métis students. Do you know at all whether they've spoken French at all?
My experience hasn't been that there's been a strong representation of French-speaking Métis students, but I definitely have experienced students that come to UNBC, and Métis students in particular, that take Cree language classes, or they're taking Machif language classes in the community of Prince George. We do have a very strong Métis community here in this city, and it's diverse, and it's amazing what they're able to sort of bring together and do for young people.
So once again, that was Rihanna Robinson, who is a professor at the University of Northern British Columbia. I think it's very important that Rihanna mentioned the diversity of Métis people in Prince George. And I also think that it's important that she mentioned the fact that many of her students over the years had taken it upon themselves to learn the Métis as well as Cree language. Earlier in this documentary, I mentioned the fact that I interviewed elders during Métis Days at UNBC. Métis Days occur every year on November 16th. It is a day to celebrate the life of Louis Riel. One thing that Louis Riel, the great Métis historical figure, is quoted as saying is, "We must cherish our inheritance. We must preserve our nationality for the youth of the future. The story should be written down to pass on." And I think that this quote is particularly applicable to the idea and concept of language. I feel that in regards to the Métis culture in particular, that the French language, as well as Métis and Cree languages, have all been integral in regards to how Métis people define themselves as a people and culture. And I think that it is important that young people continue to take it upon themselves to learn their history and to learn their ancestral roots, as well as the languages that were spoken by their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. In regards to myself, from the ages of 5 until 15 years old, I was enrolled in French immersion school. However, when I left French immersion school at the age of 15 years old, I forgot much of the vocabulary and grammar that I had learned while in French immersion, and it is only in the recent last few years that I have taken it upon myself to relearn the French language and to study French historical texts as a means of getting a better idea of who I am and who my ancestors were. Again, my name is Andrew John Saltis. I am a radio host with CFUR in Prince George, British Columbia, and I am a proud member of the Métis Nation of BC. Thank you, Rendezvous de la Francophonie, for giving me the opportunity to put this project together. Thanks to all of my guests for taking the time to talk to me and to tell me about their family history and the languages that they learned growing up. And thank you all for listening.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, presented by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and The Station. To learn more about the RVF series and the National RVF Celebration, and to send us your comments, visit ncra.ca/RVF.